I like those lizards.
Yeah, he's climbing around the walls. He's cool though.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner as we record this. It is Tuesday, January 8th, 2013.
2013. I mean, could you just... are you hearing that roll off your mouth? 2013.
This is Yvonne Beau speaking, of course, and I'm Sam Minter. And yes, 2013. It seems like every year we have to spend at least a few minutes talking about how old we are and how far in the future 2013 once sounded, but now it's here.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. 2013. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we should have all been nuked by now already.
But at the same time, you know, I have a 17-year-old daughter, and she can't remember really the time before the year started with a 2.
Yeah, I know. Well, neither will my son.
No, so. No. You know, he will think the whole idea that you were born in a year that starts with a 1.
With a 19.
It's just an indication of just how ancient you are.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So we're here, 2013. Yep.
Yeah, and Amy would probably tell you that she probably can remember just barely 2000, but she was young enough. Not really, come on.
I do remember my year 2000 celebration.
I was gonna say, do you remember when you were, what's 17, when you were 4?
I do remember when I was 4, yes.
So, as a matter of fact, so yeah. A 17-year-old remembering 2000 is not, you know, she probably remembers a bit here and there.
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember anything from when I was 4.
But that's typical. And what I've noticed is that it is atypical, the fact that I actually remember, I mean, very vividly all my childhood memories, which I have
a few little vignettes and little images here and there that are, I believe, from roughly that age, but it's really hard for me to distinguish which are things I actually remember versus which are things that people told me about and I've constructed the memory.
Yeah. No, I mean, 4, for example, I can remember, like, that year was specifically, I mean, one of the big events I remember is us going to Mexico and to Disney, for example. Okay. I mean, and I remember that trip I remember a lot about that trip. I mean, I remember falling down and, like, screwing up my tooth on the way to Mexico. Well, God, you know, I remember getting sick in Mexico.
One way to make sure you remember something is to have a traumatic event.
Well, I fell down and, like, hurt my tooth, but I remember being I remember, like, for example, there are these pictures of me. We went to visit the pyramids in Teotihuacan, right outside Mexico City. And I remember being there, for example. I remember I have a couple of pictures of that. You know, it's like, I don't know. I remember quite a lot from those years.
When I was 4, I still lived in Africa, and I don't think I actually have any real memories of being 4.
Interesting.
I don't know. You never know. They're little. Like I said, they're little.
Do you
things
remember your kindergarten? Well, of course you were in my. What am I talking about? You were in Africa, but I mean, I remember my kindergarten.
By kindergarten, I was back in the States. I was in Durham, North Carolina. And
do you remember your kindergarten?
I have some images in my head, but again, I'm not sure if they. I have an image of, like, the table where the teachers worked and did things while people were supposed to be taking naps, because I would always refuse to sleep, so I'd end up sitting at the table with them and doing arts and crafts and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Of course, that apparently was the second daycare. The first daycare, they put me in the kitchen because I wouldn't sleep. So that I wouldn't disturb the other kids. But I don't specifically remember that. I was told that.
Okay. You
know, it's one of the stories of Sam when he was little.
Oh, boy. I'm looking at my baby right now, turn over in bed. I'm watching it on...
Yep. It's just beginning.
On my IP camera right now. Yeah. Oh, boy. There he goes. Okay.
It'll only be a few months till he's crawling over the fiscal cliff. We did not, but today is the prediction show.
Today is a prediction show. Yes, absolutely. Today is a time where we're going to predict what's going to happen in 2013. Will light speed be breached? Will we mint a trillion-dollar coin? Mm-hmm. Will we you know,
all of those lovely things, and we'll talk about them, and we'll go through, we'll just like we did with the retrospective show and the predictions last year. I think we're going to do politics, then economy, then tech, then some international, and then any hodgepodge we want to throw in at the end.
Okay. All right.
So I say we get right to it. Yes, yes, the fiscal cliff stuff happened. We went over the cliff, and then within 48 hours, the thing was passed. Obama signed something and undid it, and as it's as if nothing happened. And it was, you know, in the end, very inconsequential. And yes. The only thing it did is, compared to what would have happened if we went above the cliff, an additional $4 billion on the deficit or whatever. But compared to the baseline, if we'd continued everything, it's slightly less. But, you know, it's slight. So.
Well, I don't know if we want to go into details.
Bottom line is this is
raising a lot of revenue, because one of the biggest things that happened, you got to remember, is that regardless, it was going to happen, was the fact that the Social Security tax went up. Okay. Yep. Substantially back to where it was. You know, it's kind of hilarious. Everybody like forgot that they got a cut like 2 years ago. Okay. And I've been hearing about all these people like bitching about it going back up. And they're like, oh my God. And I'm like, guys, do you not remember that they cut it like 2 years ago? Everybody's like, what are you talking about?
No one ever remembers. Anyway, some stuff happened. They kicked some other stuff down the road. Let's talk about that another week. Let's dive into predictions. Yes. Predictions. So let's start with politics.
Politics.
We do not have an election year.
No, we do not.
So, you know, all of the easy stuff you can predict in an election year.
Now these are a little bit more esoteric. Okay. Yeah, all right. Now, you know, one of the things that started happening this week already, because let's face it, because we got really nothing else to talk about, okay, in politics, as you just mentioned, is all these people saying, who's going to run for president for 2016?
But can we even really predict that right now? Because
we could make predictions about whether some people are going to start, like, campaigning towards 2016.
I judging from the last four-year cycle...
They've started like now.
No. You get all kinds of people sort of sticking their toes in the water and making ambiguous statements, but nobody says anything definitive one way or the other until after the mid-year congressional elections. So that we're not going to know till November 2014 who's really serious and who's not. We're not going to know in 2013. We're going to have a lot of speculation about a lot of people. We're going to have a bunch of those people like tramp through New Hampshire just for the hell of it, and Iowa and whatnot. And you're going to have some people say that there are, I mean, Rand Paul actually said in an interview this week, he's considering it. You're going to have people saying things like that.
So let's talk about what, okay. Do you think, okay, for example, is there going to be, since we kicked all this stuff down the can down the road?
Yeah.
We got the supposedly 60, 90 days from now, they got to go do all this thing. Now they started. I saw all this talk today about the $1 trillion coin.
Well, okay, let's save that for the econ section.
But this is part of the politics.
Fine, it's politics.
It is politics.
Here's what I think was going to happen on that.
Okay.
The various crises like the debt ceiling and what are the other ones? There's like three coming up. There's the sequester, the debt ceiling, and what's the one I'm forgetting, Yvonne?
I can't remember.
Anyway, right now, all of these various things are going to happen. Just like you just saw over New Year's, where people are going to argue about it and argue about it and argue about it up until the very last minute. Then they'll cut a deal. Nobody will really be happy with it, but something will happen and they'll kick it down the road, and there won't be any, you know, there'll be some changes here and there. You know, like this last round, pretty much the consensus is Obama won. Let me finish. I think you'll get things like the Supercoin and the 14th Amendment threatened and used as leverage, but not actually used.
You're already making a prediction. So you're saying no Supercoin?
So let me be clear here. I want there to be a Supercoin. I was disappointed. I thought Obama missed a perfect opportunity when he came out after the House passed their bill. He should have said, thank you for doing the fiscal cliff deal. That's great. Now, just to take it off the table, I have ordered the Treasury to mint coins. It doesn't have to be $1 trillion coin. It could be like, you know,
Come on, but that would be cool.
Yeah, but you know, I was just reading some articles about this earlier today. Like, a much more realistic way to do it would be to mint much smaller denomination coins, like $1 million or something like that, and actually use them to pay people. Actually put them into circulation, not this deposited at the Fed stuff and use it to pay bills, but actually start like, you know, oh, we owe Lockheed money? Here's $1 million coin, Lockheed. Go deposit it at your bank.
That would be kind of cool, too. I gotta admit. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, what the... Oh my gosh, could I get... I mean, actually, if they would to mint a $100,000 coin, I'd go buy one of those.
And that's the thing. You could actually put these damn things into circulation.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'd go get the $100,000 coin. I'm like, fuck it. I mean, I don't know. I gotta pay taxes to get the money out of the bank and something. Whatever. I'll go over there. Give me one of those $100,000 coins. I want it. It'd probably be a better investment than a lot of things. I'm gonna bet the damn coin be worth more than the actual money in the future later.
Quite possibly. Yeah. But so anyway, I think they will. I wish they would do that. I think Obama should have come out that very night on January 1st or whenever it was, January 2nd in the middle of the night, and said, thank you for the deal. I've ordered the Treasury to start minting coins so that anything that is not any place where we need to pay a bill but we're not authorized to get more debt, we'll just mint a coin and pay for it. Done. We're taking that off the table.
You're saying they're not. It's not going
to
happen.
I think I would love it if it did. I would love to be wrong on this one, but I think it will be used as leverage. It will be threatened. Obama seems to think both the 14th Amendment and the Supercoin are silly ideas, but I think as push comes to shove and you get close to the limits, at least in back channels, they're going to be, look, we got these things in our back pocket. We can do one of these things, but I don't think they'll actually end up pulling the trigger on it because I think a deal will be made.
Okay, so a deal will be made
on
and
each,
no Supercoin.
On each one of these, you know, on the debt ceiling, the sequester, on all of these things. You can't solve the sequester with a Supercoin. But I think an equal...
Okay, all right, you know. So I got another political question.
Wait. What's your prediction on that?
I agree with your prediction.
Okay. Okay, next.
What's with these nominations that Obama just did right now? Are they gonna get confirmed, or what do you think?
Yeah, they'll get confirmed.
Okay, nominations are gonna get confirmed. So you think that Chuck Hagel and what's his name, Brennan, is gonna do the thing?
Yeah,
okay.
There'll be some noise and some yelling, but I mean, look, here's the situation. First of all, on the Democratic side, do you really think a whole bunch of Democrats are going to go and vote against their president's nominee on an election year where they just did really well, and in large part due to Obama? So no, probably not. Then on the Republican side, you know, again, you need a large number of Republicans, not just a few, saying, you know, yeah, he's a Republican senator, but we don't like ex-Republican senator, but we don't like him anymore. We're going to say no to stop it. I think you're going to get a lot of noise. You're going to get some hearings. There are going to be some protests, but in the end, they'll confirm him.
Okay, all right. So we're going to get these guys confirmed. They're not going to go for another round.
Yeah,
okay.
They'll play games with these lower level appointments, but when it comes to Secretary of Defense and stuff like that, they'll make noise, but then they'll give the president.
But didn't they pull, like, who was it that? It was the one for whatchamacallit? To replace Hillary. That's the one that they pulled. I don't know. They haven't renominated anybody to replace Hillary, have they?
Yeah, John Kerry.
Oh, that's right. John Kerry was.
Oh, and by the way, he will sail through as well.
Yeah, I think he'll sail through. Yeah. Okay, all right. So nominations will go through.
Okay, now. Okay. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they'll go through too.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So, damn it! It's just that there isn't a lot. Okay. Gun control.
Okay, I'd actually written some notes down on this one. Here's my bottom line on gun control.
Okay.
I think that there will be some pressure on this. The Republicans are threatening to be obstructionist and not let anything through whatsoever. But I think this is another issue where there'll be a lot of noise made, and there will be something that gets through. But I think it will be mostly symbolic stuff that doesn't really make a difference in the end. And let me define what I mean by not make a difference in the end. I mean, won't actually have a significant impact on the homicide rate in the United States. It may be that 2013 is too close to really measure that, but I think you know, because even like the assault weapons ban, whatever, things like that that they had in years past, there was not definitive proof one way or another that it actually made a difference. I think that, it's touch and go. I'm going out on a limb a little bit to say anything will actually get through, because the Republicans may be obstructionists and just prevent anything whatsoever from going through. But I think I'm going to say that something will get through, but it'll be so watered down, it'll be so nothing, that it has no significant impact on anything real.
Okay.
By the way, that includes, by the way, there are some things, like I said, like, you know, even if it seems relatively significant, like let's say you have to have a national registry and they close the so-called gun show loophole and they bring back the assault weapons ban. That sounds like a lot, and I think that's probably more than they're really going to get. But even if they do all that, I'm not convinced that actually makes a difference when it comes to the actual homicide rate that you see. And so anyway, so am I being too vague there?
No, okay. No. I think that you're basically saying that we're going to get some kind of gun control pass because polls say that, you know, a lot of people want it, but that we're just going to get a watered down version that's not going to do anything.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. You're going to get
people declaring victory and saying they got something massive and it's really important what they did, but I think in the end it's not actually going to affect how many people get killed by guns.
Okay. All right. Okay. So gun control, watered down.
And we're said you agreed with me, right?
Not going to make a difference. And I agree with you. Okay.
And I will also say along those lines, I think in general, we will have continued stalemate in Congress, with Congress unable to pass anything of real significance. And because of that, you're going to get... this is a trend that's been over the last few years, but you're going to get more of it, more unilateral presidential action. And I'll give you the example of that is what Obama did with the DREAM Act, where Congress would not pass the DREAM Act. This is the act that basically says children of illegal immigrants who've been here since they were small and America is the only home they've ever known, etc., will get a path to citizenship, will get help with college, things like that, and not just deported. Right. And Congress would not pass that. Obama ended up doing basically an executive action saying that for people in this situation, you know, it just wouldn't be enforced. That we wouldn't take action against these people. You know, and so I think you're going to get more of that kind of thing where without a law being passed, the president just says, okay, well, fuck it. I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, because... I think that it was recently brought up after the last Congress, and I'm not sure what information they used in order to assess that, that apparently the last Congress was historically one of the most unproductive Congresses ever had. And I am thinking it's by the number of legislative acts actually passed.
Yeah, passed and signed by the president, I believe, is the measure.
Say that again?
Passed and signed by the president. So passed by both houses of Congress and signed by the president.
Right. It was one of the most improductive Congresses that – it was the most improductive Congress that we've ever had.
No, I believe it was the most unproductive since sometime in the 1920s. So
fucking pathetic. Okay. All right. I mean, with all the shit that we've got on our plate. But here's the other part that is just crazy about that. I mean – you would think that with a group of people with an agenda to make so many changes, they would be passing more legislation, but they obviously hadn't.
Well, here's the problem. I mean, you've got the two branches controlled by different parties who disagree fundamentally on a lot. So even if – I mean, the House passed a bunch of stuff that went nowhere in the Senate.
Oh, well, shit. The Senate passed voted again for the 17th time to abolish Obamacare. Come on. Really?
Yeah, so let's be more specific, because one of the things that we said last time around when we did our show last week was we had some predictions that were sort of hard to evaluate whether we got them right or not.
All right.
So let's do a specific.
So do you think that this Congress will be even less productive?
Yeah, that's
than
what
last
I was gonna,
year's.
That's what I was going to say. Now, the Congress is last 2 years. So at the end of the first year, I think they will be on a slower pace than the last Congress was at a similar time
Ouch.
Period.
Man.
So they will get less done in the first year than the last Congress got done in their first year.
Gosh, you know what? I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to say no. There's no way that they can be this bad again.
Okay.
I mean, the reason why I hold out a little bit more hope for that is because if you see how the tax bill deal passed.
You're right.
Okay.
Yeah, you may be right.
They basically, look, basically the Senate Republicans finally just said enough. They just said enough. I mean, we're just not going to be hijacked by these morons in the House.
And even in the House, by the way, I mean, Bonnier created a path forward. He didn't have to bring this thing to a vote. He could have gone with the Tea Partiers and said no. But he brought it to a vote in a way that had, you know, he violated the old Hastert rule, which requires a majority of the majority to be in favor of something before it's even brought up for a vote.
Right.
Which essentially requires a supermajority in the House, just like in the Senate, to get anything passed. And he brought it up anyway. And, you know, and he's been quoted as saying, hey, look, a majority of Republicans actually did want this passed. They just didn't want to have to vote for it.
Well, yeah.
You know? But you do see in a number of places, and I'm not ready to predict it yet, but I have seen in a number of places you do see I'm not quite willing to call them moderate Republicans, but the not crazy Republicans,
right,
getting a little bit of an upper hand here on the and not letting the Tea Party wackos and such actually.
Well, the reality that what happened is that you got Mitch McConnell negotiating with Joe Biden to get actually something done and basically just fucking like just ignoring the House Republicans.
Yeah, pretty much. And then when you saw the vote for Speaker, they almost had enough votes to keep Bonnier out, but not quite. And they fell apart when it was under pressure. There were some counts before the vote saying they would have just enough votes to force a second ballot. But then a whole bunch of those people, when put under pressure, went ahead and voted for Bonnier. So and so it was still close. Way closer than it normally is for a House vote.
Yeah, it was actually, I think, the worst result for a Speaker. Like, I don't know. I think I saw like about 100 years of votes and none of them were that close.
No, it's not quite that far back. There was
it was a good chunk.
It was like 20 or 30 years, something like that. But anyway, yeah. Anyway, so you may be right. Let's disagree on this one. Instead of me saying, okay, you convinced me, Vaughn. I'll stick with my original prediction and say this Congress will actually end up being even less productive. And again, we're only going to be halfway through the 2 year term, so they will get less done in their first year than the last Congress.
Then the last one did in their first year. Yeah. Okay, that's a good metric, and again, we can probably get information on that.
Measure being something passed in both houses of Congress and signed by
El Presidente.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. What else? We got any more politics?
Got any more politics? Will Obama get impeached?
No. I don't think so.
Okay, I'd say I predict that Obama will not get impeached either.
I think the second term, at least in the recent few decades, that's when that happens. There's something comes up and they impeach him. And I'll tell you though, one place it could happen, if he does use the super coin or does use the 14th Amendment, you might see an impeachment based on that.
Okay, so let's maybe not a complete impeachment, but articles of impeachment filed. How's that?
That's what an impeachment is. There are three stages. There's a committee recommending impeachment. There's the House voting on impeachment, which is the actual impeachment, and then there's the trial in the Senate. But the impeachment's already happened at that point. If and like Clinton was impeached. but was exonerated at in the trial in the Senate. You know?
Right.
I don't think Obama's going to be impeached. Not in 2013.
Okay. All right. Obama will not be impeached. We predict not in 2013.
But again, I will go ahead and put that caveat. If he uses the supercoin.
No, I'm not putting a caveat. I don't think even with the supercoin, I'm saying he's not getting impeached.
Ah, fine. I'll go with you. He's not being impeached. I was going to do some creative stuff. You know, if he does the supercoin, then he will be. But no, okay, fine. No. He will not be impeached.
Okay. All right. So we got that one settled. Okay. Let me see. What else have we got? I don't know.
Anything else about the any governors, House, Senate?
Governors. Okay, so do you think that, what's his name, the New Jersey governor who has been ripping the Republicans for the last few weeks, do you think he stays Republican?
Yes.
Okay.
He stays Republican.
All right. I say he stays Republican too. Okay, all right.
Yeah, he's one of the people who, I mean, and he's fairly conservative in a bunch of ways. He's just, you know.
Been, he's just pissed off at our do-nothing Congress. I know. Well, he's just like everybody else.
Well, he specifically, there were two major areas where, you know, he sort of ripped other Republicans. One was when Obama came after Hurricane Sandy, he was like, Obama's doing an awesome job at this. You know, and he's giving us everything we need. He's being very cooperative. He's helpful, blah, blah, blah. He's well organized. He said good things about Obama, and the rest of the Republicans are like, what the fuck are you doing? Especially because it was like in the week before the election. And then when the Congress decided not to vote on Hurricane Sandy relief until after the new Congress took office, he was pretty annoyed at that, too. But
well, so were a lot of people. I tell you what. I mean, you could hear like the people booing freaking what's his name, Boehner, when he pulled the bill.
Yeah, and that was bipartisan. There were both Republicans and Democrats pissed about that.
Yeah, pretty much. So
Cory Booker. You're lost. You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
No, I actually couldn't hear anything you said.
Oh, I said Cory Booker.
Cory Booker. Who's Cory Booker?
He is the mayor of Newark, New Jersey.
Okay, the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. Yeah, I vaguely remember that he's been in the news, but what exactly about?
Well,
I don't know.
He's been in the news because, well, A, people like him as mayor, but he's also done things like, you know, run and pulled people out of fires, and he's done like a bunch of like stuff where he's gone out on the street and helped people directly. And so he's been in the news a lot for all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of talk that he is going to be running for, is it the Senate or governor? Damn it.
Governator.
Senate. On December 20th, 2012, Booker announced that he would explore running for the U.S. Senate for the seat currently occupied by Frank Lautenberg, ending speculation that he would challenge Chris Christie for governor. So he was thinking about both. Damn it, I was going to predict he won, but the election's not till 2014.
Fuck. I don't know. Any interesting election in 2013, for God's sakes? Okay, well, let's
they're
see.
Not, no, they're not usually elections on those off years.
I know, but sometimes like governor or something, or some senator died, or somebody decided to retire something.
There is John Kerry's replacement.
Is that have to be a special election?
That will be a special election. There will be if I understand correctly, there will be a temporary appointment and then a special election. But I could be wrong.
Well, I have no idea who the fuck's running over there, so I couldn't make a prediction of who would win.
So actually, the two things I know about that. Brought up a quick article from The Atlantic. So who's going to replace John Kerry for Massachusetts Senate? It was published on December 20th, so it's a little bit out of date. But there are a few things here. They would hold a special election next spring or early summer. Until then, the office will be held down by someone chosen by the governor. So the governor gets to pick somebody as soon as John Kerry resigns, which will probably come as soon as he's confirmed. And then they will hold office for less than a year, and then there'll be a special election. Actually, just a few months. So there'll be like 6 months or something. The interim spot, there's been speculation that it might be Barney Frank for the interim spot.
Okay.
There's also been speculation on Michael Dukakis for the interim spot.
Okay.
Dukakis denied that he's interested in. They've also brought up Vicky Kennedy, the widow of Ted Kennedy.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yep.
But I'd say of any of those, Barney Frank. So I'll predict the interim spot in Massachusetts, Barney Frank. Then in the real election, you've got Scott Brown, who just lost the Senate race for the other seat, running for this seat.
Are you shitting me? He is?
Well, nothing's official yet, because John Kerry hasn't actually resigned yet. But everyone thinks the odds are very, very high of him running.
Oh, that'd be very interesting.
Well, and there's a lot of speculation that he might actually be a favorite to win, even though he just lost the other Senate race, because it was very close. You know,
interesting. Okay, but nobody's already in the ring, so that's kind of tough prediction.
I will go ahead and predict Scott Brown will win in the real election.
Whoa, that's bold.
So, what's his name? Barney Frank for the interim, and then Scott Brown in the real one. And
I'm gonna say this. I think that if Barney Frank takes the interim, I think he will run for the actual seat. I'd say Barney Frank beats Brown.
He has said he's not interested in. He's retired. He doesn't want to do anything long term. But I think he would do a 6 month stint. You could be right. I mean, and also I should mention that another name that was brought up was Ben Affleck. But he has announced that he's not going to run.
Well, God, thank God. Okay.
Speaking of those kinds of folks, although it's not till 2014, what's her name? Ashley Judd is rumored to be considering running for Senate in Kentucky.
Why?
Why? She's very politically active in the Democratic Party. She's from Kentucky. And she thinks she's got... can do the fundraising and name recognition to be able to do a realistic Democratic challenge in Kentucky.
What a load of shit. Okay, all right.
Well,
anybody will fucking run for the Senate. Okay. I still said that we should have put together a Senate campaign for me, but I don't know. Probably that would have been problematic. But anyway.
I mean,
don't you think that it would be nice if I got to the Senate? I mean, think about it. Say if I won. The show would be a lot more interesting once a week if I actually was in the Senate.
Yeah, I could see that.
Although, of course, I'd probably have to, like, get actually a real censor. One of my aides would have to be over here with a fucking beep button, because otherwise I'd be fucked.
You know, the whole show would be nothing but one beep.
The show would just be a beep from beginning to end, and that's it.
Yeah, pretty much, because they'd have to not just beep you when you said a curse word. They'd have to beep you when you, like, said something that, you know, wasn't properly
politically correct. Okay. All right.
Okay,
well,
let's, you know, we've been going half an hour on politics. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back on the other topics. Okay? Unless you have something really exciting.
There was one thing. Look, I looked up what elections really we had, like, for the whole year. There's only two big elections that there are this year, okay?
Yeah.
Which is for governor, okay? New Jersey, Chris Christie, which we were just talking about, he's actually his election is actually up this year.
Yeah.
The other one is for the state of Virginia, which is also being heard by a Republican. But that's it, really. There's nothing really else.
And I'll be honest, I don't know anything about either of those two races, so I'm not ready to put a prediction in.
Oh, and Michael Bloomberg is term limited out of office as well this year.
Yeah, I know nothing about what's going on in New York City either. So
okay, all right, so that's it.
Yeah. So, and we'll see. I won't even predict the Ashley Judd thing because that's not for until 2014. So,
okay. So that's not a prediction. Okay.
That's not a prediction. Well, although I think that would be fun to watch.
Done a lot of bad movies.
If Stuart Smalley can get into the Senate,
she could also do a bad commercial for an election.
She's done some good movies too.
I don't actually remember any movie that she's really done, like, really be really, really good. I mean, entertaining, yeah. So, but like, oh my God, look at that. It's Oscar material. Eh, no, not really.
Yeah, okay. Well, whatever. Anyway, let's take a break. We're done with politics. We've gone on way too long for politics. We'll do a break. We'll come back. We'll talk economy. We'll be back after this. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right. An opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, you know, I think I do okay. But, you know, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, you know, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, you know, hey, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested, and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now, back to the show. Okay, here we are. We're back. Economy. Now, I teased you the other day about making a prediction on the Dow and saying that it'd be somewhere between 10 and 100,000.
Yeah.
But I did some research, and I'm ready to narrow that down a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Okay, now,
there you go.
Now
thank you for narrowing it down a little bit.
You have a choice. Do you want a prediction that I feel that is, I believe, a 95% confidence in that, like, one out of every 20 years that I made this prediction, I'd be wrong, or a slightly tighter prediction where I believe I have a 75% shot of being right,
one out of four years. The tighter prediction.
Okay. I believe there, and I'll be clear, this is a 75, I believe this is a 75% chance, which means there's a 25% chance that I will be wrong here. Okay. But I will make the prediction nonetheless. And I'll tell you, I based this looking at the last 20 years of annual Dow returns and doing, you know, basically, assuming a normal distribution, blah, 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 75% chance that at the close at the end of the year of the Dow will be between 11,763 and 16,501.
I mean, you do realize that, I mean, that's like a range of almost like 40%. I mean,
this is based on historically how much the Dow actually varies in a given year. You know, so, and I'll give you the percentages in just a second. You go make some prediction. I'll be right back.
Well, I predict that. Okay, so now you're making me do a Dow prediction. I hate doing these. I predict that the Dow will close at 14,500. Fuck it.
No, you got to give a range, because, like, there's no...
No, I'm going with a fucking number.
Exactly. Like, if it's 14,501, yes. You're wrong.
Well, give me plus or minus 2%.
Plus or minus 2%. Okay.
Okay, so that would mean 14,500. Okay, so if I go with that, doing exactly what I said I would never do, if I go down 2%, it's 14,210 on the downside. And 14,790 at the top.
Okay. So we got your prediction. So I'll tell you where mine is, like the percentages on mine. Judging from the last 20 years of returns, the 75% confidence interval is anywhere from down 10% to up 26% from the close at the end of the year of 2012. The 95% confidence interval goes from anywhere from down 23% to up 40%. But you said you wanted a 75%, so I went with the narrower range.
Okay. Well,
and this is the thing with these kinds of things. And if you're going to make an honest prediction, you have to give confidence intervals and ranges and all this kind of stuff, because anything else is bullshit. And like, if you look at historically how variable the Dow is, it's all over the place year to year. I created a nice little graph going back, you know, since the beginning of the Dow in the 1800s, and to show this variability. And the variability of the Dow has actually been very consistent ever since the Great Depression. You know, if you look at the chart, very consistently, the upper end of the range is up 40%, and the lower end of the range is down. Between the lower end is a little bit more variable, between 10 and 30% down, but it's been very stable since the 1950s. When you're looking at a 20-year time span to look at the variability, before then, in the 1910s, 1920s, 1930s, it was actually significantly more erratic than that. But on both the up and down sides, we had 1 year. 1915, the Dow was up over 80% that year.
Wow.
You know,
that's a pretty big number.
And the worst year since the Dow existed, what year do you think that was?
1929?
No, 1931. It was down 58%.
It was 31. Okay. All right.
29 was actually not that bad when you look at the whole year. It was only down 17%.
Okay. That's not bad.
Despite the crash.
So anyway.
That was my Dow prediction. I'll make another prediction, and we got your Dow prediction. Do you want to make a prediction on any other index? Any individual stock?
No, that's it.
Where's Apple going to be?
Idiotic prediction per area. Which that's already an idiotic prediction. If that fucking thing comes through, I'm going to fuck. I mean, I just think it's because it's just, I don't know.
Did you have any basis for your prediction, or did you just pull it out of your ass?
No, I know that the Dow right now is at about 13,000. Okay, all right. And I figured, you know, I figured maybe just a 10% pop. That's it. Okay. And I think a 10% pop's reasonable if the economy, given that profits, you know, I think the corporate profits are going to show a little bit of an upside this year. And I think that the first quarter is going to be sluggish. And the first quarter is going to be sluggish because, look, there's two things that happen like right now this month that are hitting people. Okay, not just the payroll taxes, okay, but everybody got sticker shock and insurance premiums, okay, for a lot of reasons. None that have really to do with Obamacare. Everybody wants to blame Obamacare. That had nothing to do with it. But I think that that's going to have an impact. But I think that the rest of the year is going to be okay, and I think that we get a 10% pop.
So, by the way, what was your original prediction?
14,500.
500. And what was your range?
Plus minus 2%.
So what was the bottom and top?
The top is 14,790. The bottom is 14,210.
Okay. So just for reference, the middle of my range is 14,132.
The middle of your range is how much?
The exact midpoint of my range is 14,132.
Okay. So there you go.
So I'm a little bit lower than you. You're a little bit more optimistic than I am.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, other predictions. I predict the euro still won't break up.
Euro's not breaking up.
So we agree. Any more econ, or should we move on?
Let me see. We predicted the Dow. I did say that the economy is going to continue to be sluggish, just like it's been like right now. Because unfortunately, we keep dragging this stuff.
Any big mergers, acquisitions, bankruptcies.
It doesn't mean that we're not going to get better pickup 2 or 3 years from now from the economy. We're still working through too much shit.
As a whole, do you let me ask I asked you another question, but let me go back to that. Overall for the year, you think economic measures will continue to show mild growth throughout the year? We're not going to have another recession?
Correct.
and but mild growth, not extraordinary growth.
Yeah, that's correct.
So what does that mean percentage-wise so that we can
I judge think that? That say that the first quarter GDP growth number may be under 1%. Okay.
What's it going to be for the year?
I think that we're going to end the year with a GDP growth of 1.5% to 2%.
Okay. That's something we can check. I'm not going to make a prediction on that one. I haven't done anything on that. But so now I'll ask you the question I asked while you were talking earlier. Any big predictions of any major mergers, acquisitions, bankruptcies, anything like that?
Okay, I did say that last year that Research in Motion was going to get bought out, bankrupt, or something, but it didn't happen.
Are you going to predict it for 2013?
I'm still going to go on a limb and say somebody's going to buy Research in Motion again. It didn't happen this year, but I don't think they'll go through the end of this year, I'll tell you what.
Okay. But you think that it's going to be an acquisition, not a bankruptcy, liquidation, anything like that. It's going to be a voluntary
bankrupt this year, but that somebody's going to buy them. Whether it's Nokia or in a merger or something, Microsoft, somebody's going to want that portfolio somehow. Okay, to jumpstart their business.
Okay. Let's see. Any big IPOs? Anything interesting? Is there a big new company that everybody's going to be talking about at the end of the year?
I haven't seen really anything that's been like that. Like right now, there's nothing really big that everybody's going to be like, ooh, no, I don't see anything.
Okay. Any other econ or business thoughts?
We talked about the markets, talked about the economy, talked about Europe. No, I think that's okay. I can make one prediction. I think that the yen will reach like about 100 to the dollar.
And where is it now?
It had dropped below 80, and okay. It had been really killing all the Japanese companies.
So
they had really been suffering at
that
rate. Is
your prediction that at the end of the year it'll be above 100?
Yes.
Okay. So not just it'll go above 100 and then drop back, but at the end of the year it'll be over 100.
It will be over 100.
Okay. Sounds good. Shall we move on then?
Yeah.
Okay. First segment, we went a half hour without a break. Let's take a break. We'll be back, and then we'll talk tech.
Techie.
Back after this.
Techie.
You're in the Valley, AM 1620, and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on,
baby. Let's do the twist. Well, they got a new dance, and it goes like this.
Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
And here we are. So tech. I'll do the easy one. Apple's still going to be doing good.
I think that Apple's still weak. Well, hey, a lot of people... there's been a lot of naysaying on Apple over the last couple of months.
And they
should, okay.
Well, I want to be clear. I'm not talking stock price here. I'm talking about continuing to release products that people
about,
are like.
I'm talking about company.
About.
I mean, there's been a lot of naysaying on the company, like recently. I'm not sure based on what really exactly. So
let me be specific, I guess. I think the Retina version of the iPad Mini will come out in 2013. There's been some talk that it won't be till 2014, but I think they'll make it happen in 2013. Because they right now that's like the only thing people don't like about that thing, and it's a hit anyway. But a lot of people see that as a stopping point, including me. I think they're gonna figure out how to get a Retina screen in that sucker by the end of the year and release it. There's been some talk that, in general, Apple is going to move across all product lines from releasing approximately once a year to releasing twice a year. I don't think that's going to happen.
Actually, I do think that's going to happen.
You think that's going to happen?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay.
Definitely I do. I think that the reason why I think that they do want to move towards that is because it's causing crazy bulges in their sales.
No, I agree. Like right. I agree. That, and I think that would definitely help that. I don't think they – I'm not saying that they're not going to be moving in that direction, but I don't think it'll come to full fruition in 2013, maybe 2014.
I think it will come to full fruition in 2013, like right now, because, I mean, if you saw how quickly they launched a new iPad.
Yep.
I think that they're moving towards that. So they're not going to have too much of an issue.
So let's be very specific about this. On the full-sized iPads, do you think there will be two new models of the full-sized iPad released in calendar year 2013?
Correct.
And same for the iPad Mini?
Correct.
How about the MacBook?
I'm not going to talk about the, those lines have been refreshed slower. And the reason has been because that market has not been changing as quickly as the mobile market.
So I don't think
that they're going to be launching refreshes of that, like major ones, like during the year. But I think that you're definitely going to see of all the iOS devices. Okay. All of them be refreshed twice, at least this year.
Okay. So only one new MacBook in 2013.
If that, yes.
Okay, so one or zero new MacBooks in 2013.
Yes.
And I presume same thing for iMac.
Yes.
Okay. I will say one new for each of those things in 2013. Mm. I think they would like to potentially do two, but like I said, I think that will happen in 2014. But I think in 2013, there will still be only one update for each of those four things. One or zero, I should say. Like I think
Did you see these rumors about this iPhone Mini?
A new rumors about the iPhone Mini?
Yep. There are some new rumors the last couple of days about the iPhone Mini.
I have not seen those yet. Tell me.
There are a number of rumors like right now basically stating that an iPhone Mini may be impending like much sooner than everybody thinks.
Now, what are we talking about? We're not just talking about the iPhone 4S.
The reason for that is going to be by mini. I don't know if they mean by size mini, but I think they were talking about price. Okay.
So are we talking? So okay, now price is a whole different object. Like, do you think are we talking about an iPad, an iPhone Mini smaller than an iPhone 4S?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Are we talking about an iPhone Mini smaller than an iPhone 4S in terms of size?
I don't think that they kept talking in size. I think that's the question. I don't know if they're talking about price more than size.
Because that's a whole different thing to me. That's not an iPhone Mini. But predicting a cheap iPhone is a whole other thing.
The stories that came out on multiple places says Apple iPhone Mini rumors has smartphone costing under $250.
See, okay? that has to be size if they're calling it a Mini. Because they already have an iPhone under $200. It's the iPhone 4S.
Jefferies analyst Peter Misek thinks the iPhone Mini could launch early this summer at a price of $200 to $250. And you think the iPhone Mini is definitely in Apple's future, but perhaps not so soon. That's a different analyst. But I'm not sure what they...
I'll say no on that one.
You'll say no?
I think they will continue to go on their strategy of having the previous year's model still available at a cheap price point.
Which, by the way, it's the same strategy Samsung's following, by the way, because they're doing the same thing.
As opposed to, like, I don't think it's going to end up being like, obviously they've done it on the iPads. I didn't think they were going to, but they've done it on the iPads where they have two sizes. But I don't think, like, the iPods, the old iPods, you had the Shuffle, the Mini, the full size, the Bob. They had like five or six different sizes of damn iPods.
Right.
I don't think they're going to go that route with the phones.
Now, one thing that somebody said, and I actually agree with this, I think we're going to get iPhone variations in a whole bunch of different colors and stuff.
You think they're going to go back to colors? I've been waiting for them to go back to colors for years.
Like they did with the iPod before, where it used to be like white only, and I think they're going to go with a lot more color variety and stuff, whatever, in order to put some pizzazz into the line.
Are you making that prediction?
Yes.
Okay. I've been thinking that they would do that for years, but they haven't, and they haven't, and they haven't. I kind of figure if they wanted to do that, they could have done it years ago. So I'm gonna say no.
I'm gonna say one reason why probably it wasn't done, that unfortunately passed away.
Jobs.
Yeah.
Well, also remember how much trouble they had with the damn white iPhone.
I know.
You know. And so ever since, they've been very conservative on that kind of thing, because they tried to do it and it didn't work, and they had all kinds of engineering issues. But of course, and probably behind
it was just the color itself, just the color quality. And it wasn't just that. There were actually some engineering issues that actually happened because of the damn phone.
Right. And but, you know, you probably have been working on that behind the scenes ever since.
Right.
So
I think that it would certainly be something that would be something that would spice up sales that have different colors.
Okay, so I will predict no, but I would not be surprised if you're right.
I mean, you know, think about it. A pink iPhone 6.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you don't think that there's a lot of girls out there who would be like, ooh, eyeing over getting their hands on their pink iPhone 6?
There's no question the colors were popular. I mean, yeah. And they had obviously the colored iMacs, they had the colored laptops, they had the colored, and they had that all over the place, and they were very popular. People liked picking their damn colors.
Yeah.
And to this day, I mean, that's part of what happened. You know, I'll say one of my reasons for a no, that's part of what the case market does today. Because you end up customizing your phone in all kinds of different ways by the case you choose.
I do agree to that, that that's true to a certain extent, but I think that people make still a conscious choice of a phone. Black, white. You know, it's not like they go in and they grab, you know, people are disappointed if they don't get the color they want.
Yeah, yeah, true. Okay, here's another Apple one before we move on to non-Apple. Mm-hmm. By the end of 2013, the entire laptop line will be Retina display. They will no longer have, they might still have the refurbished or the very bottom of the line, but all the ones they majorly talk about will be Retina. And at this point, they still offer the 13-inch Retina and the 13-inch regular, you know, the 15-inch Retina and the 15-inch regular. By the time we get to 2013, the default will be Retina on everything.
Okay. I think that definitely that's doable by the end of the year.
On the laptops, there will not be a Retina iMac by the end of the time period. Maybe 2014, but Retina iMacs will take a little longer.
Okay.
Okay. Companies other than Apple.
I think that I'm going to tell you something. I think that by the end of this year, okay, 2013, Samsung and Google are going to be at each other's throats.
Okay.
I really do. There is just way too much area of conflict that's just that is just brewing between those two. Okay.
Is Samsung gonna officially fork Android and do their?
I think they've got to. One? I don't think they really have much of a choice. Okay, to be honest with you, because look, everybody keeps talking about market share and whatever, whatnot, and that Samsung right now is the number one in smartphone sales. Well. The little problem that they're having is like, yeah, great. They're number one in smartphone sales, but they're making per phone so much less than Apple's making.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they can't sustain that. And Google, on the other hand, also is looking at Apple making all that damn money, and they don't want to leave that money on the table either. Okay. And the problem is that for Google to go and like start making more money on this, they got to do like basically if you think about go back 20 plus years when Microsoft first was selling their OS, okay? They were charging bupkis. IBM used to be making all the damn money on IBM PCs, okay? Right. And so did Compaq and the others, okay? Well, as time passed, the tables turned, okay? You know, Microsoft said, oh, you're using our software? Well, guess what? You're going to have to pony up and pony a lot of money. I don't see how Google could just stand there and do the R&D for everybody else and not make money on it, okay? Which is what they've been doing so far, okay?
It's the ads, man.
Fuck the ads. There is not enough fucking money selling goddamn ads on the face of the earth. There's a limited marketing budget. That marketing budget is not as much as the money as people actually fork over for hardware and software. Okay? There is just so much, only so much money that you're going to get from that. Okay?
So what does at their throats actually mean? How will we judge that at the end of the year?
I think that either one of two things has got to happen. Number one is Google's going to say the next version of Android comes with an X dollar charge per device.
Okay, or?
Or B is that they go on an all-out assault on launching a lot of Google Motorola branded only phones, you know, basically making an assault on Samsung, which Samsung's going to be forced to respond with something else.
So you think Google is going to, when they bought Motorola, they said explicitly, we're not going to make, you know, Google phones from Motorola, they'll remain independent. You think that's going to go out the window?
They can't sustain that. They just lost a quarter where they had Motorola, where they lost hundreds. I mean, they've lost like $1 billion operating on freaking Motorola. They can't keep running it like that. They can't. I mean, at Google's profit last quarter, everybody keeps talking about Google's doing great. Their profits were down because they had a $700 million loss on Motorola. Okay? They can't keep going like that. I mean, you know, I don't care what kind of hobby it is. And I think that there's a couple of other technology companies that keep investing quite a lot of money on stuff. And either the markets or some people are going to finally say, you know what? Either you fucking start figuring out a way to make fucking money, or we're just not, you know, this is just ridiculous. What's the point of your fucking company, you know, spending all this money on shit and not making any fucking money? Okay.
Okay. Let's see. Who else is out there? There's one I can't talk about, but then there's Microsoft.
There's Microsoft as well out there, but there's also Barnes & Noble, which has their Nook as well out there. Yeah, they've been going out there, and they've poured a lot of money into this thing, and apparently they did not have a very good quarter, and they've basically been handing out devices like for free. Microsoft just keeps pouring money into all this other shit and not making any money. Well, they just launched Windows 8, and honestly, everybody is like, right now, the rating of the Windows 8 launch right now is like, to say disaster is not, you know, it's not.
Here's one. Is Ballmer gone by the end of 2013?
No, he's not going to be gone because he owns way too much of the stock, and so does Bill Gates. Mm-hmm. I don't think Ballmer's gone, but I think that there's certainly going to be a lot more. I mean, the pressure on Microsoft is not diminishing this year, okay? Because they notebook sales are down, desktop sales are down. They've launched this whole assault.
But yep. Surface is going to save everything.
Oh fuck yeah! I mean, Surface sucks. I mean, you know, this is like, you know, the thing about Surface. If they had launched it 3 years ago, it would have been brilliant.
Yeah.
This is the problem. So it took you 3 years to basically imitate something that everybody else had already built.
Well, same thing as what they did with Zune.
Yeah, exactly. This is exactly like a Zune Redux. And now with Windows 8 Phone. I don't get it. I mean, you know, it's like the old line, and actually Steve Jobs used this line. He stole it from Wayne Gretzky in hockey, okay? You know, you don't go to where the puck, talking about hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't skate to where the puck is. You got to think about where the puck is going to be.
Right.
Okay, skate to there. And that's the fucking problem. I mean, Microsoft is just skating. Oh, I see the puck there. Let me just go there. And I'm like, by the time they get there, it's already way down the line.
So Microsoft continues their decline in 2013. I will say that. I'm not sure I'm not going to say anything about the stock price, but I think Microsoft continues its slow slide into irrelevance in terms of technology innovation.
I don't think that they're going to irrelevance anytime soon. Because
look, they've got the big installed corporate base, and that's going to be a cash hog for a long time. But you know, that's slowly starting to erode too.
Right.
That's not necessarily going to collapse completely in 2013, but something has to happen, or in 5 or 10 years, it's gone.
They are just not the thought leaders in anything right now at this point, except maybe Kinect.
Right. And I mean, people have said good things about that, but you know, you mentioned IBM way back in the day. Everybody thought, you know, hey, IBM's this big, huge thing. They've got control of everything. They're never going away. Nobody ever got fired by picking IBM. Where are they today?
They're still around.
I know, but they're not in the business they used to be in.
They are not in the business they used to be in, but they certainly a very profitable entity that still being relied on by a lot of corporations to provide their firepower to run their companies.
But they're nothing compared to what they were in the 70s
and 80s. No, they're not. And the second thing is that they are not viewed as the people who are the thought leaders in innovation. Okay,
I mean, they're for a freaking the consulting company now. Right?
That's pretty much, yeah. They're a consulting and outsourcing and IT services company for the most part, yes. Do they make some hardware? Do they manufacture chips? Do they do some research? Sure. Did they, you know, IBM did, I don't know how many, you know, here's the thing. IBM research threw out, I don't know how many tons of patents, right? And they still do, by the way. But here's the problem. I mean, we're seeing, what's the product that you're like going, or the technology they came out that you're like, wow, that's a breakthrough.
Right. So let's be clear on the prediction. I said, and I will agree with the prediction that Microsoft continues its slide and isn't doing anything exciting innovation tech-wise. Do you have a specific prediction on Microsoft?
I think that they just continue their slow decline. Windows 8 and Surface, by the end of the year, is going to be categorized by most technology pundits as a failure. Okay.
Yeah, I think it already is.
I think it already is, but it will definitely be confirmed as a failure by the end of the year.
Now, here's one. Do you think they'll actually pull the plug on it, or will they keep trying?
I think they'll keep trying because I don't think they have a choice like right now.
Yeah, but
I think their cash flow is high enough that they're not going to pull the plug on that. I mean, shit, if they're going to pull the plug on that, they got a lot of other shit that they should pull the plug before they pull the plug on this shit.
Yeah, but like, what was that thing? They did release a phone like a year ago or something that it was out like a month or something, and they pulled
the plug on it. Yeah, the Nokia Lumia, the one that they launched, and then all of a sudden, like right after, like 2 months later, they said, oh yeah, it's going to be obsolete. We're not launching any more software for it. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking. I was thinking of another one, but yeah, they have had a history of doing that.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It really is bad.
Okay. So, any other tech related stuff? I thought of
a nuclear powered laptop.
That would be cool.
The batteries run, you know, for 30 years until you have to go get your mini nuke replaced.
Is that a serious prediction?
I it would be a nice thing if they could do it.
I think you're actually more likely to see, and this isn't a 2013 prediction either, continuing reducing power requirements plus technology to charge via motion and things like that. So you'll have... Ooh. Devices like, you know, the old self-winding watches that wound Ooh. When you moved your wrist around.
I have a few of those.
Yeah, I know, but they're mechanical watches. It's ancient technology.
Oh yeah, I know.
I think the technology for that kind of thing is going to progress, but I'm not ready to say you'll see a commercial application of it in a significant product in 2013.
I would say that would be, I mean, if I think about like my automatic watch, I mean, you know, it just winds, I just move my arm and it works. I mean, my gosh, if you could have your phone which is charged because you're moving, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I think that technology is being developed and people are working on it. I think it's a few years out.
Damn.
So my prediction is you will not see that in a major consumer product in 2013.
Okay, so the question becomes...
Specifically by that, I want to be specific because you have watches and stuff already.
Power consumption has been flat or declining in the United States for a while. So your prediction is... Do you think that the U.S. will consume less energy this year than last year?
No, wait. Let me finish my other one. It's you will not see that kind of self-winding technology in devices of the class of an iPhone this year. You may see it in smaller things. But
okay.
Okay, now energy as a whole for the U.S., do I think it's going to go down energy consumption?
Yeah. Tough question, huh?
Yeah, because I haven't really thought about this. Let's see. Public data. Let me look at energy consumption. I'm looking at a chart on energy use per capita.
Yeah.
It peaked in the United States in 1977 and on a per capita, or 78, sorry, on a per capita basis. And we were up, 2010 was up from 2009, but we've been on a general downtrend since 2000. But the problem is, it looks like this data lags by a year or two. So, right. Like, the last data I have available is 2010 when I Googled.
So, we can't predict because, I mean, for this year, because we would, you know, we, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is per capita, of course, too. So, like, if you did it not total, per capita, right. It'd be a different story anyway. But, and I'm not willing to make a prediction on that. I think long term, I mean, you have to, you know, eventually any non-renewable fuels will eventually run out. So you have to start figuring out alternatives, either in terms of using less or in terms of using renewable fuels. I think, unfortunately, the situation there is that that transition won't happen until you're actually running out of things enough that the costs go through the roof, which may be a few years out, but the problem may be that that doesn't leave us enough time for the transition, so it may be very painful when it does happen. But I don't think that's happening in 2013 either. But it does remind me of another prediction. There will be no substantial efforts anywhere in the world to address climate change in 2013. And I will be clear by what I mean by substantial. There will probably be efforts at various places in the world to do something, quote unquote. They just won't be significant enough to what the scientists say is necessary to actually make a real difference, which is actually not just slowing growth, but actual reduction in carbon emissions.
I think that I do think that the main thing that's happening with this, okay, is I think that we are going to wind up affecting like climate change, but not through some government action. It is because people are just buying more fuel efficient stuff. I mean, and people are producing more fuel efficient stuff, and that's just what's happening. That's it. I think I went on a rant like a couple of years ago regarding like DVRs and how they kept going all the time.
Yeah.
And like how, you know, if DirecTV or one of those guys went and sent a programming change, they could save a ton of energy in the country. Well, guess what? They did. They downloaded a software update that automatically is setting all DVRs to go to sleep after a certain couple of hours. Okay.
Well, and wake themselves up if they need to record something.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. But they did. But think about that. All that took was a software change by one company just going and saying, well, shit, just fuck it. Shut them all off. I mean, just shut off probably I don't know how many millions of devices and houses across the U.S.
Well, and not put them into a sleep mode.
It put them into a sleep mode, but definitely it reduced the energy consumption by them. And my point is that I see stuff like that happening more than I see government taking some action against climate change.
Well,
I see, you know, auto companies all of a sudden, almost every model they launched this year had fuel efficiency that 10 years ago people thought was impossible with the power that they have right now.
But I've seen some analysis, though, that it's really tricky when you look up that stuff. Like, because, for instance, hybrid batteries actually have a significant toll on the environment, on the process
Hybrids, okay?
No, I know. I'm talking in general, but a lot of these technologies, many of these things that are supposedly better are actually just shifting the impact from one place to another. Like, it moves from the consumption phase when you're driving your car around to the manufacturing phase. Stuff like that. So
think about this. If you use, for example, say you're manufacturing the batteries in a country like Japan,
yeah,
that still uses a substantially cleaner energy than, say, another country,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you shifted it to that stage where the energy is being produced, the energy you use to produce it is cleaner, therefore, in the end, you wound up having the desired effect.
Yeah, that's possible. I'll tell you my prediction, and I hate to do this because this is not a 2013 prediction, but my long-term prediction on climate change is the following. We will not stop using fossil fuels and burning carbon and spitting that stuff out until we run out. Every bit that's in the ground is going to get used up, We may slow down a little bit, but eventually all that'll be used up. And so we have to, I think everybody who's trying to plan around plans that, you know, I think you're right. Private actions like that, if people like are just, hey, I want the cleaner car, I think that's far more likely. Governmental action to legislate changes in how we use energy, I think, is all doomed to failure, which means I don't think changes are going to be made that will make the kind of carbon reductions, even with the kind of effects you're talking about, they're not at the scale that is the scientists say is necessary to actually like prevent a greater than 2 degree warming, 2 degrees Celsius.
I think it's going to happen, and we're going to have to figure out how to live with it.
Exactly. That's my prediction. Was I think we are completely going the wrong direction when people are looking at ways to try to control carbon emissions. That's just a pipe dream. It's not going to happen. People are going to burn their shit, and it's going to go into the air. So what we should be spending time on is figuring out A, how to live with the climate change that is going to happen. And B, geoengineering on how to fix it. Like, because for instance, I was watching a NOVA from a couple weeks ago, or maybe I watched it yesterday, but it was from last week or something, on volcanoes, you know? And they talked about Mount Pinatubo and the effects, like the reduction in global temperature caused by something like Mount Pinatubo. Mm-hmm. And so there are ways to counteract what, you know, is these effects that could happen. And like, for instance, we know in the 70s, you had Carl Sagan talking about nuclear winter all the time. So, you know we can make things colder. So if it gets too hot, set off a bunch of nukes.
That's your plan.
You know,
what about the radiation?
Yeah. Details.
Okay, all right, you heard it here first.
You know, but we, like, for instance, we don't need Antarctica. Go take all the entire nuclear arsenal of the United States and Russia, take them to Antarctica and blow them all up at once. Okay. That would probably cool down in place, wouldn't it?
Yeah, sure. Not a problem. Okay, it's a brilliant plan.
Well, and you know, seriously, a nuclear, doing it with nuclear weapons is probably not the best way, but there are a number of...
Oh, you think?
But, you know, there are a number of theories on how you could potentially release certain kinds of materials into the atmosphere to have a counteracting effect to the CO2. Now, of course, people are scared of this because we don't fully understand these processes, and we're just as likely to screw things up as we are to improve it, so you have to be careful. But that's why I think, like, we should be putting money into studying those kinds of efforts rather than wasting time thinking about pipe dreams about reducing emissions. Because we're not going to reduce emissions until we run out, and the estimates
well,
are...
Well, actually, I got to tell you...
If you burn everything in the ground...
The way you're going to reduce emissions is very simple. The cost of using that energy is going to keep going up, and therefore people are going to wind up figuring out how to use less.
No,
that's it.
No,
simple as that.
Absolutely, but the predictions I've seen have basically said that will happen too late. And then it's already almost
that. I actually disagree with that. I think that it's already happening, like, right now, to be honest with you.
It's already happening, but not enough.
Yeah. But I'm not saying that it's going to stop, like, reverse everything that's happened. But I will tell you this. I think that it's certainly – how do I say this? It's not going to blunt everything that's happened, but it's certainly it will have an impact. Okay.
So let's get back to 2013. My only prediction for 2013 was no significant governmental action on climate change in 2013, and by significant I mean drastic enough to make a difference.
I agree. There will be no government, there will be no treaty, there's no nothing, nobody's going to do jack shit. Yep.
Okay. Anything else on tech?
I think that's it.
Okay, let's take another quick break and we'll wrap it up with international and any other crap we want to throw in there. And then we'll wrap up the show because we're going long.
We're way long.
Yeah, but we'll be back with international and the other category. We'll be back after this.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s. and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, here we are. Here we are, back for international. I'll start out with one of my predictions from last year that did not come true. I'll move it into 2013. I think Assad will fall in 2013, since he didn't in 2012.
Wow.
Yeah, and you're going to egg me on, but not join me in the prediction, just like last year. I will also add to that, though, that we won't be particularly thrilled with whatever comes after him either.
Oh, I agree with that.
Will you actually join me in the prediction?
No,
this year?
He's not going to fall anyway. Still,
he's not going to. He's still going to be around at the end of 2013.
Yeah, that's some bitch is going to hold.
He's going to be holding on like Castro or like.
Oh,
like,
fuck yeah.
Or like the
guy
Gaddafi
in
did
Korea,
before he finally died.
Name was.
And, yeah.
Yeah, so, that's the. This guy's holding on. I mean, if this guy was going down, my feeling is he would have gone down already.
Okay, so you think he'll still be around at the end of the year? I think he'll be gone by the end of the year.
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think that he's going to be able to hold on.
Okay. What other countries do we want to talk about?
Is Putin gonna fall again? Huh?
Is Putin gonna fall again like he did last year?
No, Putin's not gonna fall. maybe he'll fall in his house and like, you know, break his nose or something, but not you know, something like that.
Okay. What else? Where else you want to go in the world?
Let's see. What about whatchamacallit?
What's his name? Chavez is gonna be dead.
Yes, I'm. It's really certainly looking like Chavez.
That's his name, right? I got it right.
Yeah, Hugo Chavez in Venezuela will be dead.
Okay.
By the end of the year. Now, okay, so now I got a prediction of who the fuck's going to take over. I think that I don't think that his cronies that are behind him are a bunch of disorganized clusterfuck. I don't think they've got any way of holding on to power if Chavez falls. That's what I think.
So you think the person who is currently second in line, who's the vice president, is not going to be in power by the end of 2013?
No. Okay. Yeah, no. I don't think so. I think that whole thing's just going to completely fall apart. So let's see. So that's Venezuela. Let's see what else.
I'll agree with. I mean, Chavez is going to be dead. I said that first. You agree with that? I'm not going to make any prediction as to who's next there. You made yours. Your only prediction is the actual VP right now is not going to be the one.
The VP is not going to be that guy, and the guy who is his leader in Congress is not going to be that guy either. What I'm saying is his political structure that is behind him, that whole thing's going to self-destruct.
Okay,
if Chavez dies.
Okay, very good. Any other countries?
Any other countries? Let's see. I don't know. See, so we got Syria's the hotspot, like right now.
You are Mr. Latin America. Anything else in Latin America?
In any other country in Latin America? I mean, nothing. I mean, the Brazilian election was only like about a year or two ago. Kirchner, the Argentinian lady, she's still holding on. And she ain't going nowhere, like, soon. Actually, I think the elections are this year, but I don't know. I haven't been following the Argentinian elections like I've normally have before, so I'm not sure what's going on there. So I can't say much about that this time. Let's see.
Canada?
What about?
Mexico?
Mexico, no, the elections just happened.
Bermuda?
Don't know anything about there. How about Egypt? How about Egypt? You know, Egypt? What do you think is going to happen there this year, given all the turmoil?
I think the current president is still going to be president at the end of the year. The new constitution that was just enacted, he's going to consolidate his power further over the year. There will be some opposition from the liberals in the country who feel that the whole revolution they fought for, they didn't get what they wanted, but nothing will come of it, and he will continue to consolidate his power.
Okay. All right. That's pretty good. Okay. What about
wait, do you have an Egypt prediction?
I think you're right.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. What about Iran?
I think, well, let's start with, I do not think there will be U.S. military intervention in Iran in 2013. I do not think there will be Israeli military intervention in Iran in 2013.
I agree with those two.
We will continue to be doing behind-the-scenes sabotage and things like that, like Stuxnet and all of that kind of stuff. That will continue, but it will be mostly secret, so we probably won't have any way to confirm that. But there will be no overt military action in 2013, I do not think. I think that we may actually get some progress on negotiations with Iran in 2013. I think that with us in a new term for the president, he's going to have some of his political shackles removed. He's going to be able to be a little bit more flexible. And the Iranians Ahmadinejad or whatever, is he term limited? I forget.
I don't remember. I don't know.
But I think he's not really in charge anyway. The Supreme Leader is. And I think the Supreme Leader, has said repeatedly that they are not interested in a nuclear weapon. And I actually tend to believe them. I think this is a matter of honor about nuclear power and not being pushed around. And that because of that, there are ways to come to a deal. But will it happen in 2013? I think there may be some progress, but not a lot, because I don't think you'll be able to break the logjam with the Iranian situation until you have someone more reasonable in power in Israel.
Well, that goes to that question. I mean, do you think that government still stays together in Israel through this year?
Yes.
Okay. Answer is yes.
Netanyahu okay. will still be around at the end of the year.
Okay. Netanyahu will still be around at the end of the year.
Okay. Your turn. Iran and Israel.
Look, I think that you are right. I mean, having the election like right now probably gives us more leeway in terms of negotiating with the Iranians. I just don't know if we're going to get much of anything out of that. And I do agree that there will be no attack by anybody on Iran. So I do agree with that. In terms of Israel, I mean, look. Netanyahu went and after the whole election and basically talking all this shit about Obama after he figured out that, well, guess what? The other guy didn't win, went and sent a message. It's like, hey, hi, congratulations, buddy. Yeah, you won. Oh, good going over there. Yeah, yeah. I figured you'd pull it out. Hey, maybe we can now sit down and take a chat. fucking asshole. So they were getting a little bit confident. Maybe Obama wasn't going to be there anymore. But now that he's figured out that it ain't happening. Have a little bit more of a situation working a little bit better with him. But I don't know. But yeah, he's probably not going anywhere anytime soon.
So I presume. To me, that means the corollary of that is no progress on Israel-Palestine.
Absolutely none. None whatsoever.
I will agree with that. Any other part of the world we want to mention?
Let's see. We went to
any place in Europe? Asia?
I mean, I don't know. It's North Korea, the same bullshit. I mean, the Chinese, what the hell's going to change there? I mean, we talked about Putin and whatever. India.
Africa.
Africa. I don't know much about what's going on down there.
Well, we already talked about Egypt.
That's Africa. Talk about Egypt. Yeah, true. That's it. I think we covered everything.
Okay. Do we have any other hodgepodge stuff that either we forgot in the previous sections or just other topics entirely? I got two I forgots in the Apple section. I think they will release a streaming music service.
Oh!
But it will suck, and nobody will like it.
Why do you think that?
Because they've had a really bad record at that kind of service.
Why do you say that?
Oh, things like the iCloud stuff. The what was it? Ping. Their social.
But that's a social network. Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. So I mean, their TV streaming is okay. Their music streaming. Let me pull back a little bit from it. Will suck.
I use the radio quite a lot, to be honest with you.
The radio in iTunes?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there's so much better radio things out there than the one in iTunes, but okay.
I mean, better in what sense? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's right there. It's easy. You just click and, you know, you listen to it.
Okay. There are all kinds of features that are nice in radio apps. You know, being able to see what's on in a whole bunch of places, check the mechanisms for discovery, all kinds of things. But anyway,
but my point is just convenient. It's just right there. I don't have to.
Yeah. Okay. I think they will release something that's intended to be a competitor for things like Spotify and Pandora, maybe it won't suck. It'll be okay. But it's not going to take the world by storm. It's not.
Well, but here's the thing. I don't think that any of those have taken the world by storm.
Well, I don't know. Like there's been a big movement amongst the at least the thought leaders who are really into this of like saying that of moving towards a model of using a service like that instead of buying your own music.
Yes, what you're saying is that people want to do that. Yes, here's a little tidbit. Pandora doesn't make any fucking money.
Yeah.
You see, that's the little problem with that. Oh, yeah, it's cool or whatever, but guess what? They don't make fucking money. So what, I mean, you know, there are a number of opinions out there that suggest that Pandora will be bankrupt in the next 3 to 5 years for multiple reasons.
So let me ask, okay. I am predicting that they will release a streaming music service, but it won't take the world by storm. It won't be very excited. What's your prediction?
I think that they will launch a streaming service, and it depends on how they do it. Okay, you know, I think that honestly, because Pandora is free and it's like an add-on app, and honestly, they're not making any fucking money. If they do it in a way that's already built in and easy for people to use it, which I think that they have a good shot at doing, Pandora's toast because they're not making money right now.
True, and like you know, Apple's gonna do if Apple does something like that, it's gonna be like a single click on your iPhone or whatever, or on iTunes on your computer, to sign up for like a $10 a month subscription or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
And then what the fuck's Pandora gonna do to that? Fucking like might as well just go and fucking blow their brains out.
Okay, so you are you predicting they will release it and it will be successful?
I predict that if they will release it and it will be successful.
Okay,
yes.
How about the long rumored Apple television? And we're not talking Apple TV, which you can
already buy.
There's
not going to be a fucking TV. you know what? Samsung themselves lose money on every fucking TV. All right, every single one. So does Sony, so does Sharp, so does everybody else. In order for Apple to sell a TV, it would have to be so stupidly expensive, more than the others, that I don't see them. They're not launching a TV. I mean, who's going to buy a 55-inch Sony Apple TV that costs like five times more than any other TV and doesn't really look that much different than taking a fucking TV and slapping an Apple TV to it?
Well, I think the price point they would have to meet is price of a similarly sized TV plus the $99 for an Apple TV.
See, here's the problem. I don't see the advantage for Apple to go and take on the fucking loss of making a fucking TV. You can make your own fucking separate device. If they go and they make a different one than what they've made like right now, or if they partner with some or something, I don't see the angle of fucking making these fucking things that just lose money. I mean, I don't find it, you know, I've seen I don't know about you, but I have been surprised by the number of people that I keep going to houses that do have Apple TVs.
The unit they have right now.
What unit they have right now.
And I mentioned on the show a while ago, I bought one in September, sometime this fall I bought one. Love the thing. Use it all the time now.
Yeah, it's $99. It's cheap. It's easy to use. And I'm like, I go to houses all the freaking time and everybody says, oh yeah, I got an Apple TV. It's $99. I'm like, why in the world? I mean, maybe you'd make a device with more services or something or whatever, add integration to your DVR, add something, whatever, do something like that. But why in God's name would you fucking make a TV and fuck up that model where you're making money now and then you're going to fucking basically make a fucking loser? I just don't get it. I'm like, no, there will be no fucking Apple TV.
Okay. Apple
television.
You know, I've never been completely convinced about this Apple TV thing, but I've heard enough rumors about it, you know, from enough different places. I'll go and say they will.
Okay.
But,
all right.
But I will go with the if they do, I'm not thinking it's going to be an immediate hit though. It's going to be like a slow burn. They may offer it just as an option, like, you know, here's the Apple TV box we sell now. Or here it is with a built-in monitor. It's not going to be like a flagship product that is going to be the big new thing that's going to take off just like iPhones or iPads or things like that.
Okay. All right, so you think that they will launch the damn thing?
They will launch something, but it's not going to be the star product, and it's not going to take off like a rocket. People are going to talk about, whatever. You know, it's kind of cool, but... You know. Anyway, okay, so any other random stuff from any other area that you would like to predict?
I will predict that the Earth will continue to be round.
Are you just padding your numbers now? Come on.
A little bit.
Let's not do the bullshit predictions this time. No Earth won't be destroyed. No Earth will continue to be round. The moon will still be in orbit.
Shit, you're already taking a whole bunch of my material out. Shit.
Will Castro be dead yet?
Who?
Fidel Castro.
Okay, I'll call it this year. Fidel will be dead.
But it won't make any difference.
No. Right.
I did Chavez. Fidel's he's a hanger-on.
I know.
I'll say he's still alive.
Okay, all right. So we're going in opposite directions on the Fidel. Maybe I'll just keep making a Fidel prediction every fucking year until I'm right.
One year you'll be right.
Right.
Unless that whole immortality drug happens just in the nick of time.
Right. Or unless I die before him. One or the other.
That's true. Right. Which, you know, you never know.
I never know. Right.
Last year you did a prediction on cars. You want to do any car prediction?
No, because I don't think that there's much like I think that the big thing already happened like this year. No car prediction. I don't,
Okay.
I don't know, man. I mean, I think we've... You know what?
We have exhausted it. Are we done?
Yes, we're done.
We're done.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. And, you know, you can grade us again next year. We'll at the end of next year, we'll see how we did.
Yes, we will.
We'll see. Here's a prediction. Do you think we will beat our win ratio that we had last year in 2012?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to have to agree with you. We did pretty damn good. We almost hit 80% collectively.
I know. Yeah, I don't see how we can repeat.
You know, if we end up in the 90% right range, that'll be pretty damn impressive, but I'm not going to predict it.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, neither am I.
We will not beat our 2012 record for accuracy.
That's a prediction right there.
That's
there
a prediction, go. And we both agree on it.
And we both agree on it.
With
okay.
that, thank you, everybody, for listening. Email us at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with any questions, comments, thoughts on our predictions, on anything, on whatever. And we'll be back to a normal show next week talking about the current events of the day, whatever they may be. In the meantime, tell everybody on your social networks about us and have a good week. We'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.